So before we get started, full transparency, I've been feeling a little bit under the weather, so bear with me as we get through this morning. I'm very excited about what we have to talk about today, but if you would just give me a little bit of grace, if I'm not full up on energy, we're going to get through it together, but I just want to be honest about that before we get started. But I want to say happy Mother's Day. We are so honored to be with you this morning, and we want to acknowledge that Mother's Day is a joyous day for some, but it's also a hard day for others. It can be a really complicated day with a lot of feelings. It can bring feelings of grief and loneliness and even sadness. So if you're here today and you're not super excited about Mother's Day, just know that we see you and we love you. And if you want someone to pray for you or give you a hug or just listen, there are so many people here who will do that and be that person for you today. And we do hope that if you're a woman here at Meridian, know that we want to celebrate you. We are so excited that you're here, and we just want to honor all of the women here who make an impact on the people around you and be a mother in some way. So thank you so much. We're just so glad you're here. But today we're going to be in what I'm calling a preface or a foreword for the series that we're going to be working through all summer. And our series is called Followers of the Way, and it will be loosely based on this book by Simon Reed. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that book next week and kind of give you the introduction for where it came from and all of that good stuff. But if you want to read this book with us, which you do not have to, but if you want to read the book with us, you can get it on Amazon. But I wanted to give you a warning that these are from the UK, and so US Amazon only stocks a few at a time, so frequently it'll say that they're out of stock, which they restock really quickly, but just don't panic if it says out of stock. They will get put back in stock soon, but I wanted to be honest and say they only stock 4 or 5 at a time. But you don't need to go through this book, but if you want to, it's real short, it's about 130 pages, and that's the book we're going to be using this summer. So, but I wanted to give us a week before we started the series. One, because today was Mother's Day, and I wanted to honor that day a little bit and talk about Mother's Day a little bit. But mainly, I wanted us to allow some time to just breathe. Most of you are aware, we've talked about it a lot, but Daniel's on sabbatical. We're in this new season where he's resting for 13 weeks. But we're also taking 13 weeks here to be intentional about learning to establish better rhythms of rest and work and just finding the balance between the two and really just give ourselves some healthy margin in our lives. And it is healthy to give ourselves some margin in our lives. It's biblical. And I don't want us to feel rushed this summer. I want to take it slow and let God restore us and grow us and teach us. But unfortunately, the reality in our lives is that we all struggle to live with margin. There's always something to do. There's always somewhere to be. It's hard to have margin in our lives. There's always something fighting for our time. And when I think of a group of people who not only have to manage their time, but also manage everybody else's time around them, one group of people comes to mind, and that's moms, right? Mothers. They have so little margin because moms have so much to do all the time. It's common that moms take on a lot of the labor in the house and the emotional labor of the home. And motherhood, while it can be a really rewarding opportunity and job, it can also be very hard and even heartbreaking at times. Moms are truly superheroes. And a few years ago, Daniel spoke about a woman who is seemingly superhuman. Or at least in my eyes, I remember hearing about her. Like, there's no way that a woman like that is real. There's no way. But she was a woman who had very little margin in her life. Because of her intentionality with prayer and discipleship and scripture reading and just discipline in general, she changed the face of modern Christianity. Without her, our church and thousands of other churches would not exist. This woman is the mother of Methodism, better known as Susanna Wesley. Now, some of you may or may not remember Susanna Wesley. You may have never heard of her, and that's okay. She is, again, a superhero. Real life superhero is this woman right here. She's a genius. I love her, and you've probably never heard of her. And that's okay, because I'm going to tell you all about her today. But she is the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley, who you might be a little bit more familiar with those two names. But if you have heard of churches like Methodist churches or Wesleyan churches or even Nazarene churches or Church of God Anderson churches, which is the church you're in right now, if you didn't know, these guys were like big, big deals in our churches because John Wesley established the distinctions for our theological beliefs. And his main educator in his life was his mother, Susanna. But let's talk about Susanna for a second. We'll get to John later. Susanna was the last of 25 children. Think about that. 25. She was the last of 25, the baby of her family. Her father was a pastor, and he was in a movement in England that was in opposition to the Church of England. Now, if you don't know, the Church of England later transitioned into the Anglican Church. It was a whole bunch of church history that you guys probably don't care about, but I do. If you're interested, let me know. But he was in an opposition to the Church of England, which was the church had, and the royals were really connected. They had a lot of power in the government and in the church and in society. And he stood in opposition to the Church of England. And Susanna Wesley, at the age of 13 years old, sat down and compared the two styles of the churches, her father's church and the Church of England. And she has been reading scripture daily, 20 chapters a day, since she was 5 years old. Her father taught her how to read probably around the age of 3. And so by the age of 5, she was reading independently 20 chapters of scripture on her own daily. So she sat down at 13 and reviewed the outline of her father's church and the Church of England. And at 13, she decided to become a member all on her own of the Church of England. She left her father's church and became a member of the Anglican Church. And again, so she is already, at the age of 13, way smarter than I will ever be in my entire life. So just to put that in perspective, that's her at the age of 13. That's who she was. When she was 19 years old, she married a local pastor by the name of Samuel Wesley. And with him, she had 19 children. Now, unfortunately, only 10 of those children survived past the age of 2 years old. So she had a lot of grief in her life. She grieved half of her children in her lifetime. So as you can imagine, this was a difficult time for Susanna. And not just because of the grief that she was experiencing by losing her children. She also had a really bad husband. Samuel Wesley was not a great guy. He was a bad husband. He was a bad father. He was a bad pastor. And he would frequently abandon his wife, his children, and his congregation to spend time off in London for months at a time. And it's speculated that he really only became a pastor or a vicar, which was the common terminology then, because he liked the status that it brought. Being a vicar often came with property, it came with housing, it came with social status. So they think that's probably why he became a pastor. But Susanna was a rather stubborn woman who felt like she was right a lot of the time, which I can relate to. But unfortunately, she wouldn't let a lot of things go. And so her and Samuel would get into arguments a lot. And they would start off as small little things, and they would grow into really big things. And then Samuel would solve the problems in their marriage by leaving town. And so she was left to take on all of his responsibilities as well as her own. So she would be left to tend to the house, tend to her 10 children. And remember, Susanna was very smart. Her father taught her how to read and write and study scripture from a very young age. And this became a foundational belief about how she believed people should be raised, how children should be raised, with the ability to read and write and think. So she had a rule for herself that especially her female children would not be required to do any work in their home until they could read independently so they can study scripture on their own. And so she did it for all of her children, but she specifically mentioned her female children because that was very contrary to the day, but it was how she was raised and she saw how it benefited her. And so that's how she raised her home. So not only was she taking care of her home, she was also homeschooling. So she was homeschooling 10 children and taking care of the house and parenting and all the other things that she needed. She was also committed to spending at least 1 hour of her time with each child every week. So they had one-on-one time with her for 1 hour every week. She had 10 kids. So that's 10 hours. That's a lot of time that each kid would get individually. And again, she's also homeschooling and managing a home, and she's essentially doing that all as a single mother. But proper education for her own children wasn't the only thing that she cared about. With her husband away, she was unhappy with the quality of the interim pastor's teaching ability, which I hope none of you feel that way now. If you do, it's okay. But she would host a Bible study in her home where she would teach and instruct the local congregation. And this started off as just a small meeting in her kitchen around her table, but it grew to be over 200 people in their local small village all coming to her for instruction. So she was also preaching to a congregation of 200 people, which is more people than are in this room currently, every single week, while also homeschooling, while also managing her home, while also doing all of that as a single mother. What? She's superhuman, and she faced trial after trial, and she managed to keep this level of quality time and education for the people around her while keeping her personal faith intact. Again, she sounds like Superwoman. And I don't tell you Susanna's story to shame you. Susanna ran her house like the Navy out of necessity. And for all of the superhuman stuff that she was able to do, she and also her sons reflect later in life that she really thought up until she was much, much older that she could earn her salvation. So a lot of the work that she was doing in her home was so that she could feel saved. And she had a lot of like personal sin and guilt all wrapped up in that. And so I don't want to paint this picture of she's so perfect, because both her all of her children and herself would be like, there were a lot of things that she wished she would have done differently, and wish she would have emphasized differently as a parent. But she is still a super cool figure, a mother figure in the church that had a passion for discipleship and a passion for teaching people the word of God. And that's why I wanted to talk about her today, because she believed that one of the most important things in life when it comes to faith and relationship with God was developing a personal responsibility for one's own discipleship. She wanted everyone, all of her kids and all the people around them, to have a personal passion and fire for their own life, for their own journey, for their own faith. And we can see this by how she taught her family with reading, specifically scripture, as the core standard of their house. We can see it through her Bible study by encouraging those around her not just to settle for what was offered in the church, but to do whatever they could to personally to learn about God and lean into his kingdom. She wanted to do all that she could to ensure that her children and all the people in her care would carry their own faith long after they left her house, but also long after she left this earth. And the idea of taking personal responsibility for our faith is seen all throughout the Bible, but also in the book that we will be discussing this summer. Simon Reed from that book states that we as Christians should all have this goal of wanting to be more like Jesus and develop a closer relationship with God. I think that's fair. We should all have that goal. We want to be more like Jesus and want to have a closer relationship with God. We all share that goal. He goes, but what he says is this: we do not have a clear and sustainable way of achieving our goal. And so, with varying degrees of disillusionment or disappointment, we so often settle for something less. Simon Reed, Susanna Wesley, and Paul in the book of Colossians all share this fear that we would settle for something less than real maturity in our faith and a deep and meaningful relationship with God. And we're going to see what I'm talking about here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 through chapter 2, verse 7. So I'm going to read this whole chunk of scripture for us, and then we'll break it down and kind of get into some of the nitty-gritty here. So, starting in verse 28, it says this: he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and all those at Laodicea and for all those who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So let's break this down a little bit. We're going to start in verse 28, and it says this: He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I think that if Susanna Wesley had a life verse, this would be it. She so desperately wanted everyone not just to know Jesus, but to be discipled and to be disciplined, to grow in spiritual maturity. She used all of her energy to make sure this was happening for her children and her congregation. And Paul thought the same thing here. When we settle for just praying the prayer of salvation and never digging deeper into our faith, we miss out on so much of the gospel. It's bigger than just praying the prayer and moving on. Christianity, the mysteries of God, the full riches of complete understanding is so much more than just not going to hell. It's so much more than just not going to hell. And this is what we're talking about here. So verse 2, chapter 2, starting in verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. So this is my actual life verse. When I was in ordination and going through the process to become an ordained minister, we had to pick a verse that we wanted to our ministry to be. And this is the verses, these are the verses that I picked. Because my goal for myself and our ministry is for people to feel encouraged and united in love to pursue the knowledge of God with all of our hearts. That we would take on the responsibility for our own faith, but also take on the wonderful adventure that leads to treasures of wisdom and knowledge and love. And this is the mission for our church as well. It's not just me. This is what we want for all of us. And it's really important that we get a clear vision of this. United in love, encouraged in heart, pursuing the treasure of the knowledge of God. So verse 4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Church, Pastor Daniel is gone for 13 weeks. Our pillars of faith might not always be around. Our spiritual mom can't mother us forever. We need to get strong in our faith so that we can stand firm on our own two feet when needed. We have to have that responsibility. And mothers and parents, you guys know this. You know, the whole phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? Like, you can pour everything that you have in wanting goodness for your children, but they have to be the one to choose it for themselves, which is a really hard part of parenting, I would assume. And that's the same thing that God has with us. Like, he can lead us all the way there, but if we don't take ownership for our own personal discipleship, then we don't get discipled. It doesn't matter who's pouring into us if we don't disciple ourselves first. If we're not the most passionate one, besides Jesus, right? If we're not the most passionate one, it's not going to work out. And this is what this is saying. There is only so much our leaders can do for us. Eventually, we have to take on this adventure of faith for ourselves. So let's go to the last two verses. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is the hope that our Heavenly Father has for us. This is the hope that our pillars of faith, our spiritual mothers and fathers that have gone before us, have for us. This is what they want, that we would be overflowing with thankfulness, rooted and built up with him, strengthened in the faith as we were taught. That's what they want to see for us. It's the hope that Paul, Susanna Wesley, Simon Reed, and Pastor Daniel, and countless others have for us, that we would continue to live our lives in the Spirit and continue to grow strong roots just like they taught us to. Over the summer, we're going to be looking at specific ways we can grow our faith and be rooted and built firm in Christ. But I think it's important that before we address how or what we should be doing, we should remember our why. Why do we disciple? Why is the first person we need to focus on discipling ourselves? Why should we want our future generations to have solid foundations of encouragement and love? So we continue to disciple ourselves and grow ourselves so that we might understand more and more about the riches of the kingdom, and so that we and those around us don't settle for less. It's like that the image when you fly in a plane and they say, if you're traveling with someone who needs assistance, put your oxygen mask on first before you put on somebody else's oxygen mask. Because if you don't, then you'll pass out and you're no good to help the other people around you. Right? It's kind of the same idea with discipleship. If we're not discipling ourselves, then we're not going to be any good at helping other people. Like, if we don't want it for ourselves, why would other people want it for themselves? Does that make sense? So we don't want us and those around us to settle for less, because the enemy wants us to settle for less. When we settle for less, we accept less. We fight for less. We give less. We love less. But when we take ownership of our faith in our own lives, we truly try to be people encouraged in heart and united in love. Our eyes will be open to the mysteries of the gospel, and we will see his kingdom grow here on earth, but also in the territories of our hearts as well. We will fight for more love. We will fight for more hope, for more faith, for more Holy Spirit. We will grow in our personal discipleship and journey with God. So while Susanna Wesley might appear superhuman, she wasn't. She had a hard life, and she had the tendency to be very stubborn, which really helps, which rarely helps when building relationships, as you can imagine. I can imagine, personally. But she was passionate about encouraging others to be active in their own discipleship. And when we're in this time of sabbatical, we have some things that we want to learn while Daniel is away. And one thing that I pray that we will be able to do is to be a church that is passionate about our personal walks with Christ and how to strengthen them so that we might strengthen our relationships with each other and bring more and more people into the kingdom of God. If we want to see spiritual growth, if we don't want to settle for less than all of the kingdom of God has to offer, we need to first decide that this journey, our journey, is something that we're going to take seriously and be open to the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and correct us as we become less like the world and more like Jesus. If you're here today and you are not a Christian, first, I just want to say thank you for being here. I know that it is sometimes odd being in a church if you're not really quite sure what you believe. And I just hope that you feel blessed today. I hope that something here blesses you, or you heard a word that just speaks to you. We just want to let you know that we see you and we love that you're here. But if you've never started this journey with God and you want to, it's really simple. You just simply need to pray and ask God for permission and give God permission to lead your life, and then ask him for guidance, all the guidance that you need to become more like Jesus. And then be obedient to what he leads you to. And if you have questions on how to do that, or if you don't want to do that alone, you can ask me, or an usher outside can help you find someone to pray with as well. And you don't have to stay in your seat. You can come up to the altar if you want, or you can stay in your seat, or you can go back home and do it at home. But it's a really easy journey, and we'd love to help you get started on that if you want, whatever feels right to you. But if you have started a journey and you think that you might be settling for something less, than all that God has to offer in his kingdom. I would challenge you to pray and ask God to help strengthen you again. Ask for the Holy Spirit to be with you and guide you, and then be obedient to what is being asked of you by the Holy Spirit. And it might be something that's uncomfortable, but that's okay. We'll do it together. So as the band comes back up, I just want to leave you with this. We're about to embark on a journey this summer. And while we hope it will be a slow and meaningful walk, it might get scary or uncomfortable. Just know that you are loved, and know that those who have come before you are praying for you. And know that if we stay united in love and encouraged in heart, we will grow into a spiritually mature community. And we will be blessed with all kinds of treasure in the Spirit. So my challenge is, let's take it seriously. Let's start discipling ourselves. And then we can start figuring out the how. We can figure out the how and the what later. But let's just take some time today and this week to figure out our why. And then we can move forward as a church and learn something that God wants to tell us this summer. You'll bow your heads and pray with me. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to just come and share your word. I pray that as we look forward into this next season, God, that you will be with us. I pray that you'll strengthen us and guide us. I pray that you will give us the courage to not settle for something less than all your kingdom has to offer. God, please never let us say, you know, that's enough of God. I've had enough of God. Please let us always be hungry for you, always be passionate about you, always chase after you for ourselves and then for others. We love you so much. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.